going to do it, tag it a little different, I guess you could say, or label it a little different. It's all the same type of message. Let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, please. Again, we desire your prayers. Appreciate each one that's here tonight. Appreciate each one that's been attending this meeting. I was wanting to stay through Wednesday morning, but I have a niece that's getting married in a few days, and I need to get back home. And so we're going to have to leave after morning service tomorrow, go back to Pittsburgh to fly out. 22nd chapter of Matthew, the first verse, said, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and our things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it, went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully, and he slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore to the highways, and as many as you shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's your choice. It's your choice, but you and I will have to live with that choice. Yes. We're going to have to live with it, possibly for the rest of our life, and possibly for all eternity. So tonight, they sent out the cry. Kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants and so forth. And they had it all set, but they wouldn't come. They wouldn't do. They wouldn't do what God wanted them to do or the king wanted them to do. He had it all set in place. Listen, folks, tonight, this call, this work has been going on for a long time. This will tag right into Brother Clinton's message, and I'm going to refer back to it some, and maybe Michael's message too. But the bottom line is tonight, God has set in place a way. He set in place a call. He set in place things for you and I to do. But if you and I don't choose Him, if you and I back up from Him, if you and I turn and run the other way, you and I are going to get ourselves into heaps of trouble down the road somewhere. This whole country is because of the decisions and the choices that this country has made. It's what's got it in the mess that it's in. It's not because they've chose righteousness. It's because they've chose unholiness, sin, corruption, and all of those things. They've chose that down through the years and over my lifetime. This thing has slid downhill and has been going down and will continue to go down. Unless, like Nineveh, there's a great change made, and I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. Listen, folks, tonight. Have you ever made a decision and regretted it? You are only one choice away from disaster. And he says here, he said, for many are called, but few are chosen. Why is few chosen? The call goes out. It went out to these people here. The one man ended up coming in, didn't have a wedding garment on. Why didn't he choose a wedding garment? I don't know, but he did not. But the bottom line is tonight, many are called. Many, many, many. The call goes out over and over and over, and few of them are chosen. And the reason few are chosen is because they don't choose it. There's where the bottom line is. It bounces back to Jesus. It's not him. It boils back to the people, not Jesus. He makes the call, but if they don't choose to accept it, if they don't choose to yield to it and heed to it and work with it, accept it and say, this is the way, walk in it. If they don't choose to walk that way, if they don't choose to do what God wants them to do, listen, folks, it's going to get them in a lot of trouble down the road. All right, let's go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24 and twelve. Very familiar scripture here. No, I want 24 and 14. It said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's time, he said, to make a choice here. Let's make a choice. Let's look it over. Let's consider it. Let's weigh it out. And I want you to come to a good choice. The right choice. He said, make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and did which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And listen, folks, tonight, God showed them a lot of things. He worked with them. He worked some of the most mighty miracles that's ever been had anywhere. They looked at it. They saw it. And yet they kept going the other way. They kept turning it back. They kept walking away from it. Listen, folks, you and I have seen miracles. We've seen God work. We've seen His power. We've seen the salvation. We've seen the sanctification. We've seen the anointing and the liberty and the freedom. We've seen the things that God has done. And yet people keep going the other way. But He said, as for me and my house, listen, folks, it's time to draw a line in the sand and get on God's side tonight. It's time to get with Jesus. It's time to choose Him, the one that has the power of salvation and sanctification and can give you anything you need tonight. Praise God. People are going the wrong way. They're going down the broad way. They're going the backward way. They're going the way that Jesus did not choose for mankind to go. Jesus has got the best life of all life. And you and I need to choose life and a great life and do the things that God wants us to do. But most people are going the other way. Oh, tonight, as for me and my house, have you chosen God tonight? Have you thought about it? Have you weighed it out? Have you considered it, that this is the way that I want to go? Listen, folks, this is not the popular way, but it's by far the best way, praise God. I'd rather have this than any other way. I want it this way. Well, I didn't want this way, but my way was to be another way. I want to talk about that a little bit later. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Let's go to Proverbs 1. I want to get down to a point here, 2 points. And I don't want to go real long tonight. I can keep from it. 1 and 20 of the good book of Proverbs said, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Oh, folks, the great wisdom of God has been crying, has been uttering her voice for years. In the stillness of the night, in the daylights and in the darkness, in the backsides and the front side, He's been uttering and crying and calling and working. Come unto me. She crieth in the cheap places or concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city. She uttereth her voice saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scorning, in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, look at it, consider it, weigh it out tonight. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Listen tonight, folks. You simple one, how long are you going to love simplicity? How long are you going to keep going the way that you're going? How long are you going to keep doing the things that you're doing? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, look at it. I will pour out my spirit. Listen, folks, tonight, the word of God is true. What we heard last night is true. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've got it all, folks. If you'll just come to me and live for me, I've got everything you need, praise God. Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've said it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. But now here's where people need to look and consider. They need to behold, they need to think. They need to make a choice. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When your distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, tonight, he said, For that they hated knowledge and did not choose. Do you know what the fear of the Lord is tonight? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of everything. The fear of God. Let's see over here in Ecclesiastes 12th chapter. It said here the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, I believe it said. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is the conclusion. That's the utmost. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty. Not part of the duty, not some of the duty. It's a complete duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, tonight He's saying, come. But he's saying, if you don't do what I ask you, if you don't listen, if you don't heed the call, if you don't choose this way, I'm going to do something. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to mock when your fear cometh. Listen, folks, tonight, there have been thousands upon thousands of people that's had themselves in that position. They couldn't get their prayers through. They decided at the last minute, it's time to pray. And they pray, and they couldn't get anywhere. They tried, and it didn't work, because God had had enough. Listen, folks, today, the wrath of God does exist. Some people think He's all love. He is. But He's also a God of anger. He's also a God of wrath. And if God turns on you and I, if He turns it back on you and I are going to be deep trouble down the line somewhere. God can make people squirm and cry and wiggle. Because they can't get through to Him. He won't help them. He won't back them. He won't deliver them. He won't heal them. And they face a dreadful calamity because of the fact that they did not choose the right way. They turned it down. They walked off from it. Oh, tonight, I'll laugh and I'll mock. When your fear cometh as a desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall find me, shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, tonight it's time to choose the right thing. It's time to choose the fear of God. It's time to do the thing that is right. We've got a lot of people in this country going the wrong direction. Let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter, 25th verse. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, If any man, listen to what this says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The bottom line is, folks, and I want to challenge you young people tonight, you got to choose God above every other thing. He's got to be above the wife. He's got to be above the husband. He's got to be above the children. He's got to be above mother and father. He's got to be above the job. He's got to be above money. He's got to be above everything. He's got to be number one. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants it all. If he's got it all, it will work right. If he don't have it all, it won't work right. There was a preacher got married one time many, many years ago. And on the wedding night, he asked his wife, said, "Who do you love the most, me or God?" And she said, "Well, I love the Lord the most." He said, "That's good. You keep it that way and we'll have a good marriage." Listen, I got to be first. You got to love Him. You've got to stand by Him. You've got to do the things that He wants you to do. Listen, folks, a good marriage is based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God and salvation and your love for Him. Praise God. Being able to have communion, being able to pray, get your answers through, being able to do the things that God would have you to do. Listen, marriage is a wonderful thing. But listen, if you don't love God, number one, it can be a mess. Amen. Because the devil's going to do everything he can do to stop every marriage that he can, hinder every person he can, every child he can, and do everything he can to destroy everything he can. And if you and I don't love God and put Him first, we're in dangerous territory. We need to choose Him first. He's got to be number one. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Look here about the 23rd verse. Talk about Moses for a while. I've shed some tears over this reading right here and got some blessings. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover. He kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Moses. How many of you like Moses tonight? Moses made the right choice. Moses done the right thing. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen tonight, Moses met God. He met Him in a burning bush. He met Him out there. He's going by and he saw this bush on fire. And he thought, "I'm going to turn and check this out and see what's going on." And he went over there and God was there. And God began to talk to Moses. And he told him, "I see my people and they're down there. And I need you to deliver them, to lead them, to guide them, to work with them. I need you, Moses, to do these things." Listen, folks, God met Moses that day. You and I are going to meet Jesus somewhere along the way. You're going to meet Him right here in this chapel, or in a car, or in a home, or going down the road, or whatever it might be. You're going to deal with God. You're going to meet Him, and you're going to have to make a choice. Moses made a choice that day. He decided that he would do what God wanted him to do. He made a choice, and he made the right choice. You think about Pharaoh. That Brother Michael said, "Give me a little liberty here." Pharaoh watched this boy grow up. He watched him. He was the son of his daughter. Adopted, but still the son of his daughter. And Pharaoh watched this young man and watched him grow and grow. No doubt he had interaction with him. Maybe played with him and done things, even though he was high up and so forth. I dare say that there was some interaction between Moses and Pharaoh in the growing up years. Moses had a chance to have a lot of things. He had a chance to have money. He had a chance to have power. He had a chance to do things and to get things. Listen, folks, tonight, you and I are on the wrong track if we choose the things that is going to hurt us down the road. The love of money is the root of all evil. Listen, young people, I wanted to be rich. I set my sights, my scopes, I set it all to being a millionaire. And I was headed that direction and I met Jesus. Moses met God. I met Jesus that night. And he came in my car with me as I was going home after a man had worked with me for 3 hours nearly begging me and pleading with me. I'd been under conviction for months, and I wouldn't yield. I would cry at the table. I would do different things. And God was dealing with me and working with me, but I kept pushing him back. And then I got in that car that night after Lloyd Eck had worked for me with about 3 hours worth. And I started to the house, and Jesus sat down on the other side. And he said, "Let me tell you something. You can have all the riches in the world." He said, "I can take them away from you in one moment's time." Take them away. He could have chose Pharaoh. He could have chose to stay in the daughter's house. He could have chose to do those things. "Well, I want this and I want that. Boy, that looks pretty good." Listen, devil took Jesus up on a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Listen, folks, today the devil is still showing the young people the high places. He's still showing them the glory of the world and what it can do and what it can bring. But listen, that's a facade to what's underneath that thing, folks. Amen. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, Moses chose right. Moses used his head. Moses done the thing that he should have done. Listen, I'm begging you with all I've got tonight, it's time to make the right choice tonight. Praise God. I'm thankful in 1971 that I made the right choice. I went home and I went to bed. And I tried to turn it off and there wasn't no turning. I tried to push him off and there wasn't no pushing. Praise God, he didn't quit, folks. He didn't stop. How many of you has he worked with, called after, and talked to right here in this meeting? How many of you has he been knocking at your heart's door at night? And when you're out playing volleyball or out in the kitchen or whatever you might do, he's saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest." How many's doing that? Oh, I got out of bed. I didn't know much what I'd doing. But I started praying. And I begged for mercy. And God touched me and saved me and washed me all my sins away. Praise God. And I come up out of there a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, young people, that's been nearly 46 years ago, and I wouldn't trade it for billions of dollars. You couldn't give me Trump. You couldn't give me all of his riches. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. You couldn't give me the kingdom over in England and all the queens got. You couldn't give me all that for what I've had in the last 46 years. Praise God. I still love this way. Listen, young folks, it will work. I'm getting to be I have been a gray-headed man for a number of years, but I'm getting a little age to me now. But listen, I still don't want to change this way. I want to stay in the way because I chose the right way. I don't have riches, but I got everything I need. I've got a nice home. I have a nice car. I have what God has given me down through the years. Oh, tonight, Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction. He was willing. Listen, that word affliction there is not talking about sick every day of the week. Every rich person, every actor, actress, every senator, congressman, everybody that has power and affluence and money, they have affliction just like the poor people have. Amen. They have trials, they have troubles, they have complications, they have all these things. Affliction covers a large, broad area in that word. And tonight it's not talking about sickness of disease and so forth. It's talking about many things more than that. And rich people have it just like poor people do. So if you want to go after the world and want to go after the riches, you can have affliction just like somebody else does. Money's not going to get you out of these things. There is rich people die just like poor people die. There is rich people that kill themselves. There is rich people that have all kind of things happen to them. So riches is no absolute guarantee that you'll never have problems. He chose rather. In other words, he was willing to go down there to where his people was and say, I'm joining forces with you. I'm going to be one of you. I want to help you. I want to stand by you. I want to work with you. Can you imagine? Now he killed that man and it said that the king got wrath and would have killed him. It didn't happen. Moses fled. God protected him. And then here come Moses again. Here come Moses a second time. Can you imagine what went through Pharaoh's mind? I can't get rid of this fella. He's coming back to work. And God had chosen him and he had chosen God. And the bottom line was tonight, the choice of that has turned into a man that done mighty, mighty powerful things. Listen, folks, Moses wasn't anybody before God. You and I are not anybody before God. But Brother Marty talked about the grace of God. Paul wasn't anybody, but he met God on the road to Damascus, and God made a dealing and a work with him, and Paul chose the right way. Listen, you need to choose it. You may not have an experience of a burning bush. You may not have an experience like Paul. But the bottom line is, wherever God meets you, it's time to choose. Choose life. Choose this way. Choose, and for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Moses went on. Then the Bible says the meekest man. That's a pretty high compliment, folks. Meekest man that I think it said ever lived. That's a high compliment. Tonight, choice. What is your choice tonight? What choices have you made in this meeting? What choices have you made in the last week, the last month, the last year? Those choices, what have they profited you or not profited you? How have they blessed you or not blessed you? Look at your choices, folks. Have they been for righteousness and God? Or have they been for sin and the devil? Or have they been somewhere in a hypocritical place in the middle somewhere that you've done these things? Maybe some people don't know the choices you've made, but you know them and God knows them and the devil knows them. And you need to make the right choice tonight. It's time to come clean. It's time to stand for God. It's time to do what God would have you to do tonight. What is your choices? He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The reproaches of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect and the recompense or the reward. He said, for he endured, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. Listen tonight, you can do what you need to do as seeing him. You're going to have to get your eyes on Christ. You choose him and you look at him and you watch him and you follow him. And when you need help, you do what Brother Marty said. You pray the grace down and you go on. Listen, that's one of my favorite scriptures over there in Hebrews. It said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Listen tonight, it's available. It's the throne of grace, the throne of power, the throne of healing, the throne of everything that you and I need. And when Stephen looked up, Jesus stood on the right hand of God on that throne. Praise God. He can still stand if he needs to. But he's got abundant grace. Said, my grace is sufficient. He has sufficient grace for you tonight. No matter what the situation. Listen, you say, I can't live it, preacher. Yes, you can. If this old fella out of Oklahoma can live it for nearly 46 years, anybody in here can live it. Amen. Come on now, you can live it. You can do it. I know you can. If I can do it, you can do it. I don't have a PhD in psychology. I don't have lots and lots and lots of money. But I want to tell you something tonight. I have what I have by the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. And when I got low, when I got discouraged, when things were going south, so to speak, I got a hold of Jesus and looked up. I lifted up my eyes unto Him on the hills and I accepted and I wept and I wept and I prayed. And God come down and He helped me get through that time. And He will help you too. He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to help you tonight. What's your choice? What is your choice tonight? All right, let's go to 1 Kings. Let's talk about another situation. 1 Kings 19:19 is where I want to start. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I to do? What have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of oxen, gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Let's go to 2 Kings 2. Start reading at the first verse. 2 and 1 of 2 Kings. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went after Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elijah said to him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee." And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said to him, "Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. And he said, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered and said, "Yea." Said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Elijah said to him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee." And the two went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood by to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided thither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee. Behold, I be taken away from thee." And Elijah said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taking from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." Came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water and said, "Where is the God, Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, Elijah chose Elijah to do something in that 1 Kings 19:19. Through his matlock. He was choosing him. All right, there was two schools. And what the bottom line of this is getting to is that Elisha was like a firstborn son in a home. He was the one that was selected to get what the great inheritance would be, so to speak. So he wanted a double portion of his spirit. He said, "What do you want me to give you?" He said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." Listen tonight. The Bible talks about in the New Testament of an inheritance. Jesus has everything that you and I need. And tonight, it's up to us to make a choice if we want it or we don't. Now then, we can get saved and make that choice. But listen, folks, I want to challenge us to go further than that. It's time to wait on out. It's time to say, "Lord, I want a double portion." Listen, Solomon. Solomon, when he was up there, God asked him what he'd do for him. What did he ask for? Riches? No. He wanted wisdom. And God said, "You ask for a wise thing or a good thing. I will give you that and more too." Listen, Elisha wanted. He wanted the power. He wanted the wisdom. He wanted the knowledge. He wanted a double portion of the Spirit for the work of God. That's what he was after. He wanted the things that would help him to be able to administer and do what needed to be done in the gospel work. Listen tonight, we need gospel workers and we need them bad. And I'm not talking about preachers totally here neither. We need to cry out, "Lord, I want a double portion of your Spirit. I want more and I want more." Have you sought God and begged God and pleaded for God to give you more? Listen, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to work for God, no matter what the capacity, whether it be singing, whether it be praying, whether it be teaching, preaching, missionary work, whatever it might be, whether it be the gift of helps, we're going to need to have God to give us everything we need. And it's going to start by choosing, by saying, "I want a double portion. I want more, Lord. I need more of your Spirit." Listen, we live in the most depraved time that this earth has ever lived in, and we need all of God that we can get tonight, folks. People say, "Well, I don't need that." Yeah, you do too. You need everything. He recognized that he needed a double portion. Have you been seeking God for more? Have you been desiring more of Him? Have you been reaching out saying, "Lord, I want a double portion tonight. I want more of God." Listen, it pleased God with Solomon. It pleased God with Elisha here. It pleased God with you if you ask for a double portion to be able to do what God would have you to do in any capacity that He would choose for you to do it. A double portion. Tonight, are you after that? It's a good time to start right here in Green Bank tonight. To reach out. "I want more, Lord. I want more of your Spirit. I want more power. I want more authority." Have you been having the devil attack you, discourage you, depress you, work against you? Have you felt the very oppression of the enemy? You need a double portion. You need more. You need to reach out to God. Oh, are you doing that tonight? Listen. We need to pick up the mantle and go with it. We need to pick it up and take it and do what God would have us to do. The mantles are falling. The old heads are moving off the scene. Listen, there's some that have left some great mantles. Have you picked that mantle up and gone with it? Have you done what the Lord would have you to do? "I want to do what God would have me to do. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will choose to serve God. My house, everything about me, from my wallet all the way out, praise God, I'm going to give it all to God tonight. I'm going to get a double portion. Oh, are we choosing that tonight? What is your choice tonight? All right, let's finish up in Isaiah 65 and I'll be through. 65 and 11. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword. You shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But you did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart. And you shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto the chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Tonight, he said that, and they did not choose that wherein I delighted not, and did choose. Well, let me read those scriptures. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called ye, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Tonight, Christ paid a high price for this. God gave his only begotten son. How many fathers in here want to give their son to something that they know would be painful, hurtful? They know that could kill them and wipe them out. Tonight, God was willing, and Jesus was willing to come and do what needed to be. And for you and I to reject and not choose the right way after all that God has done for mankind, after what he's done for you, salvation. He said unto me that day, he said, I died for you, child. Listen, folks, that resonates in my mind. Tonight, it's the same as it was 1985. And the Lord spoke that to me. It's still there tonight, 30-something years later. It's still there the same. I died for you. He died for you tonight. He died for you. He wants to bless you. Oh, he said, they did choose that wherein I delighted not. What way are you choosing? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. There's a lot of people tonight that are spiritually starving to death. There is people in the pig pens. There is people down there that where they don't need to be, where the children of God are blessed all across the world. Choose to be hungry. Behold, my servants drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. My servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Oh, tonight, what are you choosing? What is your choice tonight? It's time to make the Lord your choice. Yes. He has chosen you. Tonight, the greatest, most wonderful thing that we can have happen is for him to choose to call on you, to work with you, to convict you, to enlighten you, to stir you, to take time for you. He chooses to do that. Now then, he wants you to choose for him and a double portion. Pray for me. I appreciate your time and attention tonight.